sim, né?
This is in the beginning word, and God said that there be light in the middle. This is the same word.
Mm.
It's not just, you know, hearing them. God's word. And we need to kind of just read it attitude when we hear the word of God. God is speaking to me, to you. And when that God's word, God's word goes into the heart, it just, you know, transforms, creates, recreates. Something amazing happens. So we're serving a servant of God's word. We have to believe that. And that's the only tool we have. How did they come to Bible study? Three Korean food? What? My fellowship? Those things are not changing. The Word of God was cleansed, and even if you study only one time, this is how you have to have it. One chance. Your life will never be the same. And even if you don't see the fruit of the Word is cleansing, and they're smiling because you know it's a miracle. You have to walk away with that kind of attitude when you have one Bible. And you just spread it widely. It's like 100 numbers, 100 people. Anybody you meet, yeah. And if something happens, then you have a word. Scatter widely. So, really having right attitude toward the Word of God and really equipping, being equipped as a Bible teacher is very, very important. Yeah, so you have to have this confidence in the Word of God and also to feel it. Are you the communicator of the Word? Are people more confused? Or do they really experience living words through Bible study? And they can't get this mouth dropping. So, or hearing coming down in repentance? Or did we hope their life? They had no hope, not their hope? That's what the Word of God is. So really, Bible teach, and also there's a difference between just studying the Bible and preparing to teach the Bible. Okay? It's actually, it was told before you to be teaching. Teaching is very special. So, if you have been studying Bible for a long time, and if you're interested in teaching Bible, you should have Bible teachers Bible study.
Mm.
That's something you can work on. And so Jesus, in Judea, we study Bible, and that's the only thing we do. But actually, Jesus did more than just teach Bible. When Jesus, raised his disciples. His discipleship ministry is very dynamic and multifaceted, not just Bible study. For example, he Jesus gave his disciples training. Okay, let's go study. And then a storm, and like, and then Jesus is sleeping. Laughing. Right? So Jesus uses like storms and light to teach us living faith. Not just book faith, the living faith. And that's when we grow, really grow as disciples. Does anybody have a story about storm training?
Before I was teaching, I was a ceremony students,
Yes, as a teacher, every first hour, all messages, there are several messages now in school. Mm. And we get a study every day. We take Friday is a reflection time. And Monday, it was, you know, teacher session, how to become a better teacher in general. Mm. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, for 3 days, all teachers are there. And then there are teachers who teach algebra, who teach geometry, some teach, pre-calculus, pre-calculus, and get us to the algebra teachers, and geometry teachers, and share ideas. How can we teach our students in a better way? We share ideas. Mm-hmm. So, today I was talking about, I have a teacher's Bible study. I think when we study Genesis, we teach the Bible Genesis. We share, we can share much better. Yeah? How can we become better teachers? And how can we equip, how can we help our students in a better way? It's really important. We learn a lot from each other. Mm-hmm. And then we can then become better, better teachers, better general teachers like that.
Do you think everybody has to should be a Bible teacher?
Not everyone. I mean, if they are ready, if they are equipped, that's very good.
What do you mean by Bible teacher?
So share the gospel or invite people to Bible
I think everybody can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any objection?
I had a question. So in your ministry, you have Bible teachers, but you also have disciple makers. Mm-hmm. What is the difference? Like, we mean by disciple makers. Like, you put them in a different group.
Yeah.
To be more, I mean, is it in a house, or is it set up a house, or how does it work?
So, basically, is when students come, we give them three lessons of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Who's creator God, right? God's love, and then chapter 2 is all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go right to gospel study, gospel 2 verses, 4 lessons. And it's just Bible verse lesson, what sin is, judgment, and gift of God, the way of salvation, and kingdom of God.
Oh.
We do 4 lessons, and we ask them, would you like to check Jesus?
Oh, I see.
And or are you convinced that there is a sin problem in the world, that you're a sinner, and most everybody says yes. You do accept Jesus, and maybe half of them say yes, half of them no. But at least you share the gospel, which is so important, right away, within, you know, 10 weeks. If they come every week, it's 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We share the gospel.
So, 3 lessons on Genesis, see? Chapter 1, 2, and 3. And Gospel 3 was there, what?
First, you know, it's based on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4 of the Gospel.
Yeah.
But there are list of Gospel key verses. All is sin, all serve the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And, right, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of God.
Mm.
The whole gospel key verses, and we have 4 lessons Bible study on that. And, you know, we explain to them, we have a problem here. You know, there's a sin problem in the garden, and sin spread, and we are all infected with sin. And that's the most serious problem in the world. And God sent Jesus to save us from our sin. Do you believe this? You know, so we present the gospel in basic death, and...
So what do you think? I mean, we had a little plan to study service tests, yeah? Mm-hmm. It might better put to think about study this, three lessons, Genesis, and 4 gospel key verses, sin, judgment, and then
salvation,
and kingdom of God.
Yeah.
It's a really good idea, really, you know, to a point.
Yeah.
He's talking about 7 steps.
Yeah. 7 steps, yeah, 3 plus 4.
You just extend 7 steps to 12 steps.
But the lessons are a bit different.
Yeah, I know.
They are really focused, they are really focused on the gospel. Sin, judgment, and the service, and the kingdom of Christ.
I think firstly, you know, seventh day is good.
Yeah.
Because they want to have a little bit short Bible
that's
service.
Right, yeah.
But if you go with a little bit advanced Bible student who wants to be a Bible teacher, then third steps might be better because it's a little bit more deeper.
Yeah.
Right. This is just for people to come.
Yeah.
You want to introduce them to Jesus and the gospel. Mm-hmm. And then they have to have personal confession faith that I'm a sinner and Jesus.
Yeah.
Also, I like Paul's question because I think it gets at the distinction between Christian, like Bible teacher, and disciple.
Because I grew up in, with my grandmother, and we had Bible study. And coming into this ministry was completely a whole different world. Actually, it was very challenging me in my faith and who I am in Christ and everything. Like, it made me doubt everything I believed in. Mm-hmm. Because I knew God had called me, but it was like a big burden to me. But I'm very thankful to know, and I've been praying about it. You know, I really want to learn how to be a disciple maker, not just a Bible teacher. And I've been taught how to be a Bible teacher, but not a disciple maker. Mm-hmm. So
I think, like, personally, I'm going to make you kind of how my understanding is changing and growing. I think I realized that there's a big difference in your mission or your intention. So when you're just a Christian, you might identify your mission or intention kind of in general or vaguely, like, love God, like worship God or something. But you still have, or like for example for me, I still had my own life agenda. Like, I can glorify God by doing this. But to be a disciple maker, your mission or intention in life becomes to make follow Jesus and make disciples of Jesus. Like, that's your goal. And that also changed the way I view Bible study and Bible teaching. The point of Bible study is A, to obey Jesus, and B, to be able to teach others to obey Jesus. So I realized that's really different when I'm teaching the Bible. Teaching others to obey Jesus' commands is very different from just studying the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very pointed. And so, like, even like challenging them to obey, and like not hiding that part of Bible study. Right, even right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then I think that comes up when you study even lesson one of Genesis. God is creator God, and what difference does it make to know, for you to know that he's your creation? And she makes all the difference. Your life, your direction completely changes. You said you're the center of the universe, yay? But then now, you're not. Your life revolves around God, the creator. So you just ask God, why did you make me? What is your purpose for my life? So, I guess, yeah, that really changes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so from the beginning, you are really making it absolutely clear. And I think first lesson is like, weed out the challenge. The world does not revolve around you. Right? There are two kind of world. World revolves around God, or world revolves around you.
From my own experience, raising of disciples, we should not be confused about the name of the students. Because sometimes we think if he wants to become a disciple maker, we have a tendency to begin to demand our students. But from my own experience, basically, demanding is different from guiding.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot demand. If we demand our faith, it's like you said, you believe in Jesus, he wants to follow Jesus, and why don't you do that? If you go like that, you will lose your relationship with your fellow student. For my own experience, our job as a Bible teacher, somehow we have to understand it's really guiding our students, showing them the example. That's the best way to go, showing them the example. So I think also making an environment is very important. I admire Pastor Paul because he made this exercise. In this way, he made an environment so that students who want to listen to the word of God and grow together, they begin to live a common life. So I think though, James and then Mark and Holly, all three people comes from the Bible house.
Grade 2, 1, 2, 3.
So making an environment and help them to follow Jesus at a good environment is very important as well. My case, even though I teach the Bible every week, 3 and 4 students, but none of my students are there. Because my students are not disciples. They are Bible students. They are not disciples. Because I fail to make a good environment for them to follow Jesus. So in this way, I think it's helping the students with a signal. So it's an art. Really, it's an art.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Samuel Lee knew how to help the students. And then I learned from the Shepherd David King in the chapter. Mm-hmm. Under him, I came for any chapter. And he was of a different kind of Bible disciple maker. Basically, he's a good Bible teacher, but he never teaches new students. He already teaches only disciples. So it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So level of teaching is totally different. If you become a new person, there's a way of teaching for new people.
Yeah.
First, you have to become a friend. If you do not become friends, you can't help them. But some people has to be a master. Spiritual master, almost like a guru. And then, I think in my ministry, really, Pastor Paul is like that, right?
No.
You are like a
disciple.
You are like a disciple. Oh, Pastor. And then, I know the Bible teacher. But there are some different level of teaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's good to have to follow teaching,
Yeah, I think we're going to talk about that next session about the church, because the church is a body.
Yeah.
Not everybody is going to be a disciple maker. I thought this is for sure. Yeah, so we're just having a very focused conversation, and I may sound extreme, but Jesus was very extreme. He came to, so we're very, zooming in. Not everything he did, but the zooming into his disciple ministry. So he taught the word, and also he trained his disciples through their instruction to know how they will respond. And also there's an example in Mark, which is called Compassion and Stewardship. Jesus feed 5,000, and Jesus challenged them, you give them something. So disciple of Jesus means that you have heart for God and people. So do you really have compassion? Is it your responsibility to be concerned about spiritual growth and welfare of 29,000 UWN students? How about, is it your responsibility to be concerned about spiritual growth and welfare of the people in the church? And it seems like daunting, right? How can I care for 29,000 UWN students or even just people in this room? But there's something that you can do, the 5 million. What can you offer? And then I think that's where, some people are good fishermen, some people are good Bible teacher, some people are good disciple maker, some people are good chef, some people are good encourager, and that's how you create a body and work together as a team. But your goal is very clear. You are a disciple making church. not homeless, you know, church homeless or you know, other sex trafficking. You know, each church is their area, their mission field.
So for me, as for me, you know, right after I became a Christian, God in compassion to young people, especially for previous sins, even because I came to India. Before my cousin age, you know, to me, they were kind of conflicted. I was a competitive. They, to me, they were rivals. But after I came to Christ personally, God in compassion. And then, for some reason, I don't know why, for kind of compassion for young people, college people. Even before I came to India. But when I come to India, I was really blessed and told, wow, there are many people, they are thankful in the college ministry. This is the place I want to be. So I'm God gives compassion to the servants for certain kind of people. And Maria said, Maria Wang said, you know, I don't have any compassion for college ministry. But I have compassion for all things. So I'm not sure it's the excuse or a real compassion or not, but.
So I think the reason we're doing campus ministry is because college students will be leaders in society. And so strategically, if you really care about advancing his kingdom, you want to work with disciples candidate or leader candidates. They want to be teachers, they want to be good business, they want to be doctors, right? They're going to lead this nation. So you want, whether they stay in UBF or they, you know, or another church, you want to plant the word of God through and empower them to spread out. And wherever they go, they will have, right, Jesus in their heart. And that's what we're doing. And there'll be very few people, like 1 out of 10,000, who catch that vision and say, hey, I want to do that too. Because that's how he defends the kingdom. Most effective at reaching college students. And so we see this dynamic thing that Jesus is doing, not just teaching, but training, and also really working on their heart and sense of stewardship. So big body. And also, I think most important thing is, in the middle of his discipleship, he asked them, who do you say I am? And he just taught them the way of the cross. And so disciple of Jesus need to know what you're signing up for. Discipleship is a very hard path. It's a narrow path. And he said, many are called, but few are chosen. And it is the way of the cross. If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. If you want to follow me, he said, come follow me. In what kind of way did he do this for me? Way of the cross. When he died, he was born. It's not a popularity count. It's not for mass evangelism. It's not a revival meeting. It's a very, very specific way where you invest your life, you pour into other people's lives, maybe in your lifetime, small people. Or maybe if you're productive, one person, you invest in one person per year. Or one person every 3 years throughout your lifetime, and you raise them in society. Is that worth it? Is that what you want to do? You know how you can change the world? By one person at a time. So, somebody asked Billy Graham, because he is one of the few people who led most people to Christ. And Moody, A.L. Moody is the one person who preached to the most number of people. And Billy Graham led most people to Christ. And they asked, interviewer asked Billy Graham, what would you do differently? And he said, I would raise the disciples. Because if you have a revival meeting with 30,000 people and maybe 10,000 people accept Christ, You know what happens after they go home? Maybe they go to church, right? So you have 10,000 church for. But if you invest in one person, who invests in one person, who invests in one person, you can convert the whole world in 30 years. That's how powerful it is. But the thing is, we're not doing that. We were disciples, but we stopped. Mathematically, if you invest in one person who will invest in another person, you can convert the whole world. That's why disciples is so powerful. And that's why we have to raise disciples who raise disciples. And they get the chain going. And so that's why Jesus said, go preach gospel to masses. He didn't say that. Go make disciples. All nations. Because Jesus is mathematical, it's just so genius.
It's like when I was a spiritually blind, I thought I couldn't raise 12 disciples of Jesus. Easy. But I have been in ministry for 17 years as a missionary, but I don't have to raise even one disciple yet. And then when I think about Jesus, he had 12 core disciples, but beside 12 core disciples, he had when the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, the upper of the 120 people were gathered. So actually, he raised 120 disciples for 3 years. 120 disciples.
Yeah.
That means that 120 disciples, they were willing to risk their life for Jesus. Because high priests were looking for them to kill them, like Jesus. The 120 people were willing to sacrifice their life. Jesus raised 120 people for 3 years. Now I realize that it was possible because it was Jesus. For 3 years, 120 people.
But in examining his life, he focused on actually three people.
This is a diamond. I can't carry it over.
This one, you know, I read a terrible idea, but not a man, this is a man. And he said, like, for us, one man of faith, not a man. And and the distance for the inspector, the picture. So I realized how much important for me to that one man. And so how much important for me to raise such one person. So that's my prayer packet for me. You know, before God calls me to heaven, I want to be used by God to raise a 12 disciples. That's my prayer. That's my prayer.
You really need determination and focus. You constantly realign yourself and cut off branches and focus. If that's really your heart desire, there's 300 lives in your life. it seems impossible, but you persevere and you do it. You become a dentist. Right? That is an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. But then to do that, you really have to focus and sacrifice and go for it. And same thing with disciples. If you really want to be a disciple and a disciple maker, you focus and you go for it and with the help of the Holy Spirit. The problem is, I do not go fishing.
So that's what we have been doing in our ministry now. So, Dr. Charles Chesson will help him with the Genesis. Mm-hmm. With Mark and then Greg. And then Jeff is in the teacher contact with us. In the same sense, the different teacher.
Last 17 years, as I'm trying missionary experience and the discipleship making, was the one sad thing was among the workers that competing in China. And then if somebody's Bible student, and their Bible student is not the other person's Bible student, it's like he is their student, not mine. So we have faith continually because in the church, even the same body, we do not have each other. Sadly, we do not have each other. Only competing each other. But I realized that once somebody comes out of church, if you see some first person, you have to think they are our students.
Yeah.
Don't think because he's a missionary, a secondary, Buddhist student, or he is a missionary, Jewish student, nothing like that. It's like they are our students, and we have to help each other.
Yeah.
And then quickly you have to find out what is my job.
Yeah.
So Hannah and I are good Bible teachers. But we are not the good at raising disciples. Because Hannah and I cannot push people. We gently invite making a good relationship. Good friends, our students all like us.
We were the
bait. Yeah, but we just, I just cannot teach my students. But I will always recommend my students to go to Pastor Paul's house and get a common life so that they can receive spiritual training on their hands so that they can go out by the Bible.
I'm not a good at teaching people.
What about, I want to bring up, what if the member has been in the church for years, right? Never had one Bible student. So they can feel ashamed. This guy's got 10 Bible students.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, so you can
get that.
Yeah, I think we should get rid of that stigma. Yeah, I mean, and they can bring it upon themselves, like, oh man, we never had a Bible
student.
Yeah.
But I think, Barry and Mark Barry, I think you have gifts of encouragement. You're an environment maker. And I think you should really use that. When I first met you, my impression is, wow, very friendly, and I could just talk to you,
Yeah.
So that's your gift. You should really have confidence in the Lord, what He has given you, and keep encouraging people. And make it a point to encourage everyone, all the members. Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
That's your part.
Yeah. Teamwork. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
sir. Mm-hmm. And we have in our ministry, Faith Grady, she was here when we had a staff conference.
Yeah.
She has a gift. She loves food. Yeah, she's been to in like 5 years. She's been to every single restaurant in Chicago.
Oh.
She loves food. Her mom is a chef.
Oh.
She grew up eating well. She loves food. And whenever we have a party, she has this idea. Oh, we should eat it. Yeah. So she's her, you know, gift teacher.
Mm.
So we really rely on her. And she's very proud to be the head chef. It's very important. Yeah, and then there are people with children's ministry and the different church bodies.
Yeah.
But still the church is disciple making.
Yeah.
The church who prays for 29,000 UWM students. That's your mission statement. But then we have different parts of the body.
Yeah.
So, we come to a point where Jesus, after, you know, following Jesus for a while, Jesus says, okay, the way I do things, he says, is I'm going to die on the cross.
Mm.
And if you want to follow me, like, all the way, you also have to accept the way of the cross. And I think this is a time all of us in this room have to recommit. Jesus, I want to go all the way. That's so important. Because there's no easy way.
Mm.
Disciple, you know what the truth is? Die. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. First time Jesus invited you to follow me. And then after midterm, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to the cross, and that's what it is. But there's a resurrection, right? So we can recommit. It's hard, it's narrow, recommit. It's worth it. This is Jesus' way. Investing in young people. Raising disciples, we need disciples. And the transfiguration, really important to have glorious image of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to be very, very bad Christian. Nobody wants to come to church. They're really depressing. Right? You need like glorious image of Jesus. I hope that something is different about these people. They're always smiling. Because we know the secret. Right? If we're just going through here, and we have hope in the kingdom of God. So, this gospel, as a disciple of Jesus, we really carry this gospel for you. Always. And grow deeper and deeper in gospel sense of life. So, if you have testimony, life testimony, how you met Jesus, like 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, every year, Easter time, you should write a new life testimony. What does cross of Jesus mean to you? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean when Jesus calls me to follow me? I knew you. This is really the best way to go with it. And we dedicate your life to following Jesus and His way to God. Okay, so, number three, what was Jesus? So these, I don't know if you really got that, because you guys kind of got sidetracked, but these things that we talked about is the way Jesus trained His disciples. Through His words, through His training, through challenging, through to compassion. It's very multifaceted. You can't just teach Bible to people and expect them to be disciples, right? You have to teach Bible students and Bible teachers. You need this like program where people are developed in various ways.
Yeah.
And it becomes a rush. And it becomes, yeah, lifestyle. Right? Even in medicine, you take many classes. Well, I'm not going to the surgeon. I don't want to do surgery. Can you do that? No! Right, your family is physician. So you went through surgery, now you're doing meals. And then you went to even foot doctors, right? Plastic. Sports medicine. Yeah. Those things you don't need.
Mm.
But studying all different areas develops you as a person. As a well-rounded, well-informed physician. So even Bible teacher, disciple maker, you have to be really well-rounded. And also practically, I think Jesus is always challenging us to take inspiration to follow him. So like, for example, I can think of this like, Christian Lee, and she's like an amazing Bible teacher, amazing Bible student. She loves student ministry, campus ministry, and her, you know, disciple making is her, you know, number one goal and passion. And when she was an intern God trained her in a very unique way, she got a job at a cafe to make sandwiches. And for her, this was like torture. She hates cooking. She hates cleaning. But it was very practical discipleship training for her, because she had to deny herself and grow in that aspect.
Mm.
So for her personally, that was the way she followed Jesus.
Sounds
funny, but it's true. Yeah. So now she feeds her Bible students sandwiches and power shakes. Great. Right? So you have to really develop as a well-rounded whole person. It's very important. And I think Jesus really raised his disciples to be really well-rounded, not just nerds, Bible nerds. So what was Jesus' vision for his disciples? Let's read this Matthew, the Great Commission. So Jesus is discipling us. We want to glorify us. And like Charles said, we follow Jesus and we invite others to follow Jesus. I think that's really disciple. The more you grow, the better you will be kept as a disciple. I think Jesus really doesn't like hypocrites. That's how it should be. No, teachers are not hypocrites. Because they did not follow God's way. They were only teaching other people to do. So, this is really time Jesus is calling you. Do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want to follow him? Do you really want to deny yourself? Take up your cross, follow him? And then you say, yes, I'm following him. And as long as I'm following Jesus, you can see. Paul, you know what Paul said? Follow my example. First Corinthians 11:1. Who can say that? Follow me. Be like me. Want to follow Jesus? And we want to be like that. I mean, you really have to have confidence to say that. You know, all my Bible students, women, I said, be a housewife, nothing. Because I'm following Jesus. I can say, I'm following the housewife. Marry a doctor. And you have to be able to say, oh yeah, you should be a doctor. You need to have me. Whatever you're doing, because you're very sure that I'm doing it, follow you. Yeah, be a dentist and be a Bible teacher. You need that kind of confidence. So really, a good disciple maker, disciples of Jesus, makes a disciple. Okay, talk to me. That Jesus invited all of us to follow Him. What a privilege it is. The Son of God, the universe, is inviting us and calling us. We're so unworthy. We're so excited to have this calling and have an encounter with You. Father Lord, today, help each one of us to recommit our hearts and lives. To deny ourselves and follow Jesus. We want to be good disciples of Jesus. We want Jesus to constantly work on us and grow us and teach us how to, who Jesus is and how to follow Him. And we want to invest in others' lives to follow Jesus. Lord, have mercy on us and may we be perseverance for 29,000 dying souls in EWM. We pray that we may raise committed disciples with Jesus on this campus. And I thank You, I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Just copy this.
Thank you so much.
Well, 15 minutes. You said that 15 minutes. Thank you. Is that
Okay.